Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
30 minutes of nonstop talk brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we'll be live on October 11th. Friday, October 11th, 1 week from tomorrow. So join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, it's going to be a lot of fun. Matt, in the show sheet from the other day, there was another clip of Daggett. That's the one where he said Biden can send us back to work, but he'll cripple us. You know that one I'm talking about? Yeah, that's it. To the president, yeah, if you're going to grind the economy to a halt. No, 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 there's another one. There's a third one that we had the other day. That's the one where he came out and I tweeted out he sounded a lot like my uncle. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, give me a second. I can find it.
Okay. See, I think this guy, Daggett, like, you got to understand. So some of these guys, these longshoremen make with overtime like $200,000, right? Now, the average longshoreman's not making that kind of money. But that you hear about the big figures. And then they roll out a guy who is a millionaire to be the face of the strike. It's terrible optics. It really is. But here's my point. We live in the craziest time ever where you just heard Donald Trump, and I'll play the audio for you again in just a few minutes. You heard Donald Trump go out there and say he understands that the longshoremen are dealing with inflation. Now, there's a time when a Republican candidate for president would have said, and if I'm president, these guys will be back to work on day one, or they're going to lose their jobs, or I'll order them back to work, and I mean, I'll prosecute them if they slow down. I mean, it would have been a complete 180 from where Trump was, just sounding incredibly sympathetic to them. And I'm telling you the reason why. It's because these guys are all Trump people. They're all voting for him. He's got the support of unions, not the leadership, but he's got the support of the union workers. But they're all brothers and sisters, so they all stand together. And that's what's happening. It's the probably the biggest change in politics I've ever seen in my lifetime. Honestly, I mean, can you remember a time when it was like this? And a big part of the reason is because Democrat policies lead to the extinction of their jobs. I'm not talking about automation per se, but I'm talking about things like the Green New Deal. And Trump just said in Michigan a few moments ago, he's going to make sure that he kills that Green New Deal so that he protects the auto workers' jobs. So he's going to kill any deal that says, you know, that would lead to the end of the combustion engine, because he's going to protect those auto worker jobs. That's what I'm talking about. It's that. So these guys are brothers and sisters. And Daggett would go, Harold Daggett, the head of the Longshoremen Union, he's the guy that you heard, he would go out there and he would go out and he would join in strikes across the country in other places. So if they had a strike going on someplace else, he would join in with them and he would do it. You know what I'm saying? He would take the side of the people that were striking. Even if they weren't longshoremen, even if they weren't dock workers, he would just do that. So that's the mindset of these people. Again, I'm not sitting here telling you that I agree with these guys or that these guys are right. What I'm saying, though, is that this is such a strange political time where the president of the United States has the power to order these guys back to work and isn't doing that, even though he knows that it's going to hurt the Democrat candidate for president. Because if there's a shortage, if there's supply chain issues, if prices go up even more, if all these things occur, guess what happens? Kamala Harris pays the price. Kamala Harris pays the price for that. No question about it. And Biden has the authority to order them back to work, but he won't do it. He won't do it. Now, this is a clip of Daggett the other day. And this is what I mean. This guy's a bad spokesman here. Because to go out and sound so cavalier about the damage that you could do to the American economy, you're not going to win hearts and minds, as they say, with that kind of talk. You know, to say that I can cripple you, I have the power to cripple you, makes people think that, you know what, you guys are too reliant on you, and maybe we do need automation so that we're not in a situation like this in the future. In other words, if I was hired to be their PR guy, I'd be telling them, you got to stop with this. Threatening the American consumer is not going to get you anywhere. What you're going to do is you're going to make them turn around and go, you know what? We need automation so that guys like this can't destroy our economy in the future. That's what's going to happen to them. But being in the strange time we live in right now, instead of Trump going out there and hammering them, as a Republican candidate used to do years ago, he's showing sympathy to them. And Biden, instead of going out there and just taking the being the bad guy here to do what he needs to do to help his one-time running mate, he's going to let economic damage ensue so that he can look good to the unions? Look, he can go out there and be the bad guy, and she can play good cop, bad cop. Biden can go out there and say, I'm ordering you back to work. And Kamala Harris could say, I completely disagree with this. I stand with you. Hell, she could go on the picket line with them if she wanted to. And Biden could be the bad cop. But he's not doing that. Why is he not doing that? Because he doesn't like her. He doesn't want her to win. Listen, don't doubt me on this stuff. Don't doubt me on this stuff. There's a part of Biden, he's a stubborn old Irish guy, and he does not like how he was treated here. He knows he got pushed out. He's never liked her ever since the day she went after him for being a racist on the stage over the busing issue back in 2020. Never liked her. And does not want her to win because he wants to be able to go back and say, see, if they had had me, I would have won. Don't doubt me on this. Because otherwise, he would have on day one ordered these guys back to work to protect the economy so that it wouldn't hurt her. He knows this blowback's going to be on her. They're in charge. Whoever's in charge is going to get the blowback on this. I'm telling you, it's friggin' strange times. But this guy Daggett is doing himself no favors. He's doing his members no favors. Because he comes out and he threatens the people, and then all of a sudden there's, you know, New York Post stories and all these other things. He got Elon Musk tweeting about the guy's yachts and his Bentleys and his gigantic mansion and his swimming pools and his massive brick oven pizza oven, which is, mine is not big, by the way, just so you know. I can handle like one pie at a time. His can handle like a lot, but I'm just saying. It's bad. It doesn't help. You know, you got to roll out like a union person who's making 50 grand a year and talk and have that person talk about how tough this economy is and make that your spokesperson. Believe me, I think just looking at this, analyzing this from a public relations perspective, I think these guys have already lost the public relations battle. I really do. Because of this initial threat by Daggett, which he did on day one. Take a listen.
These people today don't know what a strike is.
Right.
When my men hit the streets from Maine to Texas, every single port will lock down. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you. First week, be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are. Now I have the president screaming at me. I'm putting a Taft Hartley on you. Go ahead. Taft Hartley means I have to go back to work for 90 days. That's a cooling off period. Do you think when I go back for 90 days, those men are going to go to work on that pier? It's going to cost the money, the company's money to pay their salaries. Well, they went from 30 moves an hour maybe to 8. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down and let's get a contract and let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you. And you have no idea what that means. Nobody does.
Look, nobody wants to be threatened like that. And what somebody hears that, what they hear is, I'm going to be crippled. Now, I have friends, and I'm sure you're in the same boat right now, who are thinking about the consequences of this, and they're worried. And they're very worried about this because we all went through COVID. We all have PTSD from that. We remember that. He's the wrong spokesman. He should not be out there. He should not be saying these things. But he just outlined the power that Biden has. And Biden can do that. And even if these guys slow down, it's still better than nothing. You've got thousands and thousands of ships just sitting there with perishable items on them that need to get on grocery store shelves. Otherwise, all that stuff's going to be expired and you're not going to be able to use it. You're talking about beef and produce. Okay, things that we import way too much, in my opinion, in this country. We should be making this stuff here at home. But that's for another day. But the point is, you got refrigerated cargo ships out there, or containers, and they've got beef, they've got produce. I mean, forget paper towels. And that stuff has an expiration date. So Biden could order them back to work right now, right this second, and say, get to work. I'm the bad guy. Let Kamala Harris play good cop and be the bad guy. But he doesn't want her to win. He doesn't want to tarnish his legacy anymore. They shiv the old guy in the back. He was surprised, as I was, as you were, when that tweet went out saying I'm dropping out of the race. Biden was caught off guard by that. I really believe that. I don't think Biden knew that was happening until it was over. And they threatened him with Ukraine, and they threatened him with what they had on Hunter and what they had on him. And it was Barack Obama who was behind the whole thing. The real mob boss here is Barack Obama. He was behind every move in this. When all those Pod Save America bros came out and said, and then one guy wrote that op-ed and basically said, Joe Biden, you can leave the race, your legacy intact, or you're going to destroy your legacy. Translation, we're going to expose your corruption, and we will destroy your legacy. And maybe you might face financial and maybe criminal liabilities, too. So Biden, but they pushed him out, and he's angry about it. He's angry about it. And he really does. In his stubborn Irishman head, he really does believe he can beat Donald Trump. Now, I don't think he can. I absolutely do not think he can. However, I will tell you, though, when it comes to union workers, he's a lot more liked than she is. You saw that with the polling among the Teamsters. They like Trump better, but they liked Biden. They liked Biden because he's always been this union guy. That's always been his act. Now, he doesn't want to tarnish that now by ordering these guys back to work. He would rather see her lose, so he gets to say, I told you so to everybody, then tarnish his own legacy as being union guy Joe from Scranton. You know, the guy, the union's best friend. He doesn't want to tarnish that legacy. And you know, and here's what's going to happen. Mark my words. What's going to happen is the enormous pressure that's going to be put on him to order these guys back to work. Now, from Trump's perspective, there's no other way for him to play this other than to be sympathetic to these workers. You know why? Because all of these union workers are brothers and sisters, and all of these union workers are voting for him. That's why he said what he said in Michigan. He's out there saying, I'm going to protect the jobs of the auto workers. And he's going on about the longshoremen and how much inflation is hurting these guys and costing these guys. 20 years ago, the Republican would have been hammering the unions. But this is the upside down time we live in, because the working class in this country has, and I really truly believe at the heart of it is the war on energy. I really believe that. The biggest, we talk about offshoring of jobs. Yes, we talk about that a lot. Manufacturing leaving. Yes, I get all that. But I think the war on energy is what really drives this. And I'll tell you why. It drives inflation. It drives prices. But there's something else, too, here. And that is that these guys, these working men and women, whether you're a dock worker, whether you're an auto worker, whether you're a cop, whether you're a construction worker, electrician, plumber, whatever it is, you work your ass off every day. You may not have a college degree. You watch the Democrats pay off all these college loans for people who make more money than you. You watch as $120 billion of your money goes to Ukraine. You see this wide open border where all these people are coming into this country illegally. They're causing crime in the cities, and then you find out that $1 billion goes to illegal immigrants, and your fellow Americans, many of them union workers, down in the ravaged parts of this country by Helene, they're getting $750. A giant F you to every single one of those people. And these same guys sit there and they find out that, you know, their little girl may lose a trophy out to a biological dude on the swim team, or may have to room with one at a sorority house. And they think the Democrat Party's freaking nuts. And they see the war on energy is going to cost them jobs on the auto line. They see it's causing them to have to pay more for everything. A lot of these guys drive trucks for a living. I don't mean just big, you know, big haul trucks, but a lot of those guys, too. But also people that just drive like vans, you know, plumbing vans and construction workers. They're all paying more. Everything costs more for them. So everything on the supply chain for them has cost more all these years. It's not complicated to see how this shift has happened. And at the same time, culturally, what happened in this country is exactly what James Carville said. The Democrat Party became the party of the faculty lounge and the coastal elites. Best example I can give you is Howard Stern. If you go back to the 1990s, Howard Stern would have been the prime example I would give you of the working man's talk show host, right? Raunchy and, you know, lesbian dating and the KKK guy, Daniel Carver, and the Whack Pack and everything like this, mid-90s. And he's out there, you know, saying he's going to run for governor and he's all about the workers and he's a big libertarian and blah, blah. It was all an act. Now he's as woke as they come. He wants vaccine mandates. He's all about climate change now. These workers, and remember, it's the brothers and sisters of these unions across the country who stand with each other in solidarity. When one strikes, they all strike, kind of a thing. They're all voting Trump now. For all of these reasons, this seismic shift that we've seen in American politics, where yesterday I shared with you the story of how in Philadelphia, Democrats are bleeding, hemorrhaging working class voters, hemorrhaging them. The only voters they're making gains with, or they're even holding on to, are the highly educated, affluent types that live in Rittenhouse Square and that part of the city, Center City, Philadelphia. Working class parts? No, they're going Republican. Latinos in Philadelphia? They're going Republican. That's what's happening in this country. And I really do believe it's the war on energy has started all this, because first they watched the people in the coal mines lose their jobs. They saw those towns get destroyed. They saw what happened when they went after fracking. They saw what happened when they went after the oil jobs. Biden still has a ban on liquid natural gas exports. You want your running mate to win Pennsylvania or not? Again, that's a no-brainer. You immediately lift the ban on liquid natural gas exports. Ah, unless you don't want her to win. In which case, you keep it going to remind everybody how much this administration hates fracking in the must-win state of Pennsylvania, so that everybody's reminded of her flip-flops on the issue as she tries to go out there and explain herself on it. She can't, because she did a poem about it on Jimmy Kimmel's show or Jimmy Fallon's show, whatever show it was, and she said she wanted to ban fracking and all the other things. Right now, you have a president who has a ban on the export of liquid natural gas as the battleground is Pennsylvania. And you tell me he wants her to win? I mean, this is politics 101. You come out there and you say to those longshoremen, get your asses back to work. I'm invoking Taft Hartley and I'm ending the ban on liquid natural gas. Oh, and here's what else I'm doing, too. I'm opening up drilling in Anwar. Why not? Steal all Trump's ideas and just do it. Yeah, you're going to tick off the base on the left, but that's baked in already. Those people are voting for the Democrats. They have to, because they hate Trump so much. You got to win over the working class voters in this country. And do you realize this administration has not changed a single policy? I mean, Kamala Harris is flip-flopping all over the place. If she was for it in 2019, she's against it in 2024. If she was against it in 2019, she's for it in 2024. But do you realize this administration has not changed a single policy? They haven't shut down the border. They haven't reversed the ban on liquid natural gas exports. They haven't ordered the longshoremen back to work. Nothing. They're sending more money to Ukraine. They know it's unpopular with the American people. They don't care. It's literally as if they're running against Kamala Harris. I've never seen anything like this before. I don't think any of us have. And so now all these union workers across the country in almost every industry that's been impacted by inflation and the war on energy stand in solidarity with each other. And so instead of a Republican president going out there and, you know, talking tough and saying to the union workers on day one, I'm going to make sure you go back to work, or I'm going to fire you, I'm going to invoke Taft Hartley if I have to. No, he's standing up there and he's empathizing with these guys. Because he knows, Trump knows that across the country right now, every union worker, and I'm not talking about the government union workers, every union worker is watching this battle play out, hoping Trump wins, hoping and praying Trump wins. So I'm going to play you what he said just about a short time ago in Michigan. He went on about the auto workers, the union guys there. He talked about the Teamsters. He talked about the steam fitters. He talked about all those guys. And here's what he said about the longshoremen. Take a listen.
Under my leadership, America's workers won't have to go on strike for better wages or a better life because they will once again have a champion for them in the Oval Office. I'll be their champion. I believe me, I will be their champion. I'll bring back the American dream. I don't know how long the strike is going to go on, but if it's on with me, I'll get it back pretty quickly, I think. For the longshoremen and all of the other people that have been hurt so badly by inflation, they've been really hurt badly by inflation. No matter what they make, I mean, it was you probably have inflation, real numbers, 50, 60, 70%. Some things went up 100%, 125%. Look at interest rates, though. Seriously. Take a look at interest rates. You want to buy a home. I had 2%. Now it's much more than 10%. Somebody said it's 10%, but you can't get the money. I said, that means it's higher than 10%. That's what that means. The Trump Republican Party is the party of the American worker, and it's also the party of common sense. And it always will be.
Now, it's very important to think about now. It's very important to think about what he just said and the context of this seismic shift in American politics that we have right now, because he's not sitting there going, these guys are economic terrorists. He's saying, I understand they're hurting by inflation. And if this thing is still going on when I'm elected, I'll end it. But he's not going out there and calling them thugs. He's not going out there and calling them villains. I've read a lot of those pieces today by conservative writers. And the other part of this, too, which I think is, and again, I'm analyzing this for you because I'm truly as amazed by this seismic shift as anybody else is. But I see how we got here. I see how we got here. And it wasn't overnight. But the reason why all these union workers in 2016 backed Trump is the same reason why they're backing them in 2024. Because the Democrats went loco, the pogo stick of crazy. And when you sit around the faculty lounge and you got all these highly paid professors who have places in Rittenhouse Square, for example, and they're all talking about climate change and we must do something about climate change. And they're mocking MAGA for not believing climate change is real or not believing climate change is man-made. And they're endorsing all these policy positions on things like bans on fossil fuel, EV mandates, ending nuclear power. What? They're out there talking about how we need wind turbines and solar panels. And they're arguing that only renewables is the future. And they're teaching this stuff in class. They're arguing it in policy. Think tanks are putting it out there, too. And these union guys know that, you know, leaving the exporting of our jobs and manufacturing off the table for just a second, the Green New Deal, that scam is the greatest threat to the American worker right now in this country. The second is the illegal immigration problem, 100%. Because if you can get people off the books at a cheaper rate, and those people are willing to work off the books, yeah, it's going to be a problem for the American worker. These guys know that. And they see that border wide open. They see nothing being done about it. Nothing. Here's Trump saying, my pro-worker reasons are one of the reasons why I've been endorsed by all these union groups. Take a listen.
My pro-worker policies are one of the major reasons why I've been overwhelmingly endorsed by the rank-and-file membership, first time it's ever happened, of the Teamsters, including 62%. Of the Teamster members in Michigan. Are any of them in this room? Who? That's nice. No, I think it's great. I think it's great. Well, thank you very much. First time it's ever happened.
It is the first time it's ever happened, because if you go back to the endorsements and the International Association of Firefighters, an early Biden endorser in April of 2019, not endorsing a candidate in 2024. They endorsed Mondale, Dukakis, Clinton, Clinton, Gore, Kerry, Obama, Obama. No one in 2016. Biden in 2020. No one in 2024. I'm telling you, this is bigger than just a longshoreman. And to watch this from the kind of 30,000-foot view and realize that there's so much nuance in all this. You got the Harold Daggett issue, worst spokesman ever for this, the worst. Get that guy far away from all this, threatening to cripple the economy. You have the Republican president empathizing with the longshoremen. And the Democrat president, who's not running for re-election, who has the power to end this right now, not ending it. You've never in your lifetime seen anything like this. And we may never see it again. But we didn't get here overnight. We got here for years and years of Democrat elites saying to the working man, I choose the Green New Deal over you. And you know what Trump said today in Michigan? He said he's going to end the Green New Deal scam. Take a listen.
We're going to take back our auto industry from Michigan. And, you know, I call, it's supposed to be the car capital of the world. I call it the lack of car capital of the world, because when it was called the car capital of the world, it was many years ago. It's the lack of car capital, but we're going to make it again the car capital of the world. We're not going to let them steal your business. And it'll end up being bigger and better and more beautiful and more important than it was at its height. And that was a long time ago. You're going to have a lot of companies move. Right now, China is building a major auto plant in Mexico, actually two of them, among the biggest in the world, and they think they're going to sell their cars into the United States and destroy Michigan and South Carolina and other places that make cars. Not going to happen. And you know why it's not? Because I will put 100% tariff on every car, and it's going to make it impossible to sell their car here. And I'll tell them that the only way that they're going to get rid of that tariff, and it's the only way, is if they build the plant, not in Mexico, but in the United States, and our people operate the plant, okay?
So it's a seismic shift in American politics. All right, I want to take your calls on this, so stay on the line, 855-839-1210, on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. 1 week from today, live in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I want you to join us for it. It's going to be a great, great time. Coming up, Kamala spent all the FEMA money on illegal immigrants. Yeah, it's true. It happened, and now she's offering a paltry $750 to everybody, and FEMA saying that they're broke. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. It's insane. But thank you to the Grand Hotel of Cape May for sponsoring our happy hour, where we will be live 1 week from tomorrow. So join us for that. We're streaming live on YouTube, and we're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I got to give Johnny Cook, it's a funny tweet. He said, you working on a dock, are you going to operate those big boom arms that unload the ships? Can you imagine the carnage? Fair enough. That's true. All right. Good point. I should be the most accident-prone human being on the planet. I should go nowhere near the docks. Fair. Fair point. I got you. I got you. I get it. That's good. That's a good tweet, though. Very funny. Very, very funny. All right. 855-839-1210. Let me take some of your reactions to everything that's going on here. And let's see. First of all, Robert is in Bensalem. Robert, how are you?
Hey, Rich, it's good to talk to you again. As always, loving the show. But you were wrong about one thing.
What's that?
You said that that the administration didn't change any policies. They actually did change one. They set an all-time record for oil production from the United States this year. They kept it on the country. They know it's what we want. But they don't do it until it benefits them at the election.
Why does Biden deserve credit for that?
There's no credit he had administration. He only did it because he wanted to bring down the price of oil, and they had to buy a bunch of oil to replace what he sold out.
I thought you were saying that Biden deserves credit for the oil production. Okay. Gotcha. Misunderstood what was on the call screen. Okay. Yeah. No. Look. Yes. All oil production's at an all-time high. It's not because of Joe Biden. And you are right about that point. It is not because of Joe Biden. Robert, thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate it very much. And you're right that they're hiding it too. In fact, you know, Senator John Barrasso, I knew I'd read this piece. You know, it's like all of a sudden you think about something and you go, wait, I know I read a piece about this. Senator John Barrasso wrote a piece in The Hill back in April. Biden's damaging war against American energy production, and he talks about the milestone that we're at the highest production of oil, but he says Joe Biden, because he talks about how the Biden administration's not saying anything about it, he says Joe Biden deserves zero credit for production records. For 3 years, he's attacked affordable, available, and reliable American energy. The credit belongs to the innovators, entrepreneurs, and roughnecks in places such as my home state of Wyoming. These individuals work hard and take enormous risks every day. Their vision and labor made the U.S. energy independent in 2019. First time in 70 years. Who was president then? Donald Trump. Instead of celebrating their achievement, candidate Joe Biden threatened to throw them out of work. He guaranteed his administration would end fossil fuel. In the first days in office, he killed the Keystone Pipeline, canceled federal lease sales and then existing leases. He's launched an unprecedented regulatory assault on the fuels that provide 4/5 of the nation's energy. While oil output is at a record high, we could be producing even more, but for the president's whole of government effort to chill investment. The year before President Biden was inaugurated, the Energy Information Administration was forecasting oil output in 2023 of 14 million barrels a day. Actual output came in at 1.1 million barrels per day below that forecast. No, he said oil production, this is what Senator Barrasso says, oil production hit a record in 2023 because more and more of our oil and natural gas production is occurring on private and state lands where developers don't need permission from Washington to drill. It goes on, but it's you know, and I don't want to eat up the whole time on this point, but Biden deserves no credit for that whatsoever. So, you know, the more you know, as they say, the more you know. And it takes years for an oil rig to come online anyway. So any credit that you want to give belongs to Trump. I mean, we became energy independent under Trump, and we lost that. Biden would rather have Venezuela provide oil than the United States of America. That's the bottom line. That's the truth right there. Oh, what else did I want to share with you? Well, let me take another call here. Let's go to Keith in Valley Forge. Keith, how you doing?
I am good. How about you?
Doing all right.
Hey, yeah, it's funny. I was just talking to a friend today. He's in the oil and gas business down in Texas. And he said that, well, first off, he said, as far as the longshoreman goes, he said he used to have a lot of dealings with the Port of Houston. And he said that an average person at the Port of Houston makes $150. The guy who runs one of those big, big forklifts makes $300. The guy who's up in those real tall cranes making $500,000 a year.
Yeah, it's good living.
And he also said, we've been talking about this for a while now, anytime you pull oil out of the ground, you get various, you know, you get natural gas, you get butane, propane, all that kind of crap out of it too, whatever. Since they can't export natural gas, they are literally paying to have it removed. Now, I don't know about you, I heat my home with natural gas. Mm-hmm. Send some of that crap up here, you know? I mean, it's freaking insane. You know, and when we got all these LNG facilities that we're trying to build under Trump, and now they're all gone.
Yeah, man. And if Kamala Harris gets in, natural gas will not expand in this country. Best case scenario, it stays exactly where it is. Worst case is that she has a moratorium on it, just like they did in New York.
Exactly. Yep. It's crazy.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
Yeah, we're living in an inside out, upside down world these days.
Keith, thanks for the call, buddy. I'm telling you, this longshoreman thing is not about money. $5 an hour, that's a no-brainer. It's not about money. It's about automation. That's what it's about. It's about automation. These guys want no automation. And Steve Scalise was on Fox News this morning. He said that point. He said, you know, these guys are talking about no automation. That's just not realistic. You can't have that. It's the year 2024 now. It's not realistic. It's not about the money. They're trying to protect their future because they're very worried that they're going to lose jobs over this. And again, Trump, being smart, knows this. And that's why he's trying to show empathy for these guys. Because whatever happens, whatever damage to the economy that occurs, it's not going to be on him. It's going to be on this administration. It's a smart play. It's the only smart play. You can't use rhetoric to get them back to work. So why go after them? You know what I mean? Like, if I were advising Trump right now, I'd say exactly that. Like, empathize with the workers, and, you know, say, you got this whole thing going with the American workers and the auto workers and you know, all the union guys. So empathize with them, understand their plight, and, you know, but recognize you have no power to do anything over it. So then don't pick a fight that you can't, that you have no say in. It doesn't help Trump to go out there and say, I would order these guys back to work on day one. It doesn't help him to do that because these guys are Trump voters. He needs to win first. But Biden could order them back to work. Just saying. It's amazing. And, you know, if the story was about, could you imagine this story about Doug Emhoff, the beta male of the United States of America, beating the crap out of a woman? You realize how little media coverage this story's gotten? This guy's accused of physically assaulting a woman, and it's gotten like no coverage whatsoever from the mainstream media, corporate media, nothing. But I want to let you know, since Biden's comments about Israel, benchmark U.S. crude jumped 5.1% to $73.71, its largest one-day gain since the early stages of Israel's war on Hamas a year ago. The tremors weighed down U.S. stock indexes and left investors scrambling to understand the potential fallout of a broader war. Oil surges after Biden says the U.S. is discussing the Israel attack on Iran oil facilities. Now, again, I don't know if he's just the dumbest guy out there or if he's the smartest guy out there. Because I really believe he hates her. I really believe he wants her to lose. And saying that stuff out loud, I know Biden's not with it, but he's kind of, yeah, sometimes he's with it, right? I mean, obviously, he's not with it. I mean, he has his moments. And in those moments, I think he thinks, how can I shiv her campaign? Oh, how about this? I talk about blowing up Iran's oil facilities, knowing that the price of oil is going to go through the roof. You don't have to say that. You don't have to. Why would you say that publicly anyway? Why would you engage in that? You know oil's going to spike. You know that that's going to be a fallout for the party in power. I mean, it's Biden's an old school politician, and I think he knows he's going to pardon his son. It's all going to go away. She loses. Trump gets in there. He goes back on the beach. And goes out as the only guy that ever beat Donald Trump. I think it's what he wants. Really do. Don't doubt me on this. I'm telling you. There's a mindset at play here with this guy. This is a guy who spent his entire life in government, has train stations named after him and roads and highways named after him, and he got shivved out of this race, pushed out the door, just like that bit on Saturday Night Live the other night with Dana Carvey. He didn't want to go. No, he did not. And I think he wants to sit on that beach believing he's the only guy to ever beat Donald Trump. Now, whether he really did or not, that's not the point of this segment. The point is, in his mind, he thinks that. So that's what he wants. And he wants that to be his ultimate legacy, that Trump was unbeatable except for him. Don't doubt me on this. Sorry, what is this text from Matt here? What are you saying now? You're saying 85% of toilet tissue is produced domestically and distributed by trains and trucks. Well, that's good. Oh, you looked over what will and will not be affected by the strike, DeSantis?
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff on here. If you like bananas, you're potentially out of luck because 75% of those are imported. Car parts, you're in trouble. Thankfully, toilet paper, you're going to be safe. Chemicals, in trouble. And then this one is concerning because, as you mentioned the other day, the holiday season is just around the corner. Toys, not going to be on shelves.
I thought toys were already on shelves, though. No?
Well, if the strike were to persist, there would be a shortage of toys on the shelves because most of them are manufactured in China or other low-cost countries in Asia and then ultimately shipped into the United States.
Right.
Unless you want Lincoln Logs, because evidently those are produced in Florida. But are a lot of kids playing with Lincoln Logs in 2024? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Interesting. What about coffee?
I did not see that on the list. So,
all right, you got to let me know about that, all right?
I'll investigate further.
That's obviously the biggest thing that the Zioli Army is worried about is our coffee. We don't have to worry about bourbon because that's made in Kentucky and also around here too, but you know what I mean? So there you go. Why would I need a pop filter? Am I popping? Why is Kevin Pohl saying I need a pop filter? I'm not popping.
He might be talking about the noise from DeSantis's mic, I think.
That's DeSantis's mic, not mine.
Yeah,
that's
you're
his.
Fine, Rich. You're fine.
Watch this. Pot your mic down, DeSantis. You hear how nice and quiet that is? Zioli on the waterfront. That's funny. That's very funny. Chris Donahue on the YouTube chat. You watch it on YouTube? It's fun. It's good. It's good. It's a good group. I don't pop my peas. There's no popping. I got an anti-pop filter on this thing. I got a guy who filters my peas. That's what they say, right? Right, guys? Justin and Kirk, isn't it? Like you pop your peas, that's the whole thing?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Now I'm not popping my peas. You heard a single pea pop?
Nope. Not a single one.
Justin, did you hear a single pea pop?
I can confirm with 100% certainty not a single peep-pop was heard from either
Kirk,
producer.
Kirk, did you hear a single peep-pop?
Ditto. Correct. No peep-pop were... no pop were popped.
Now, if DeSantis pots up his microphone, however, you hear the sound of like when in Poltergeist, when the demon took over the television and the little girl is in there, it's that same static. Or back in the day when channels used to go dark, remember? And it would just turn to static. That's what you hear when DeSantis pots up his microphone. Go ahead.
All right, it's potted up right now.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
Well, I didn't pick the microphone. This is what was given to me from engineering.
Unbelievable. Don't ever accuse me.
It's worse today.
It, for some reason, it does. Yeah, I don't know why. It must be something on the access. Don't you accuse me of popping my peas, pal. Say that five times fast, right?
Exactly.
All right, so we don't have to worry about a lot of... That's good news, though. We don't have to worry about too many things. Coffee, bourbon, wine we can get domestically, so that's okay. The French wine, but olive oil... Well, you can get California olive oil, but yeah, I guess you can get that, so... Ted's in Swarthmore. Ted, what's up, my man?
Hey, Rich, how you doing? Good show today, buddy. Hey, first of all, once again, Donald Trump said it long time ago. We need to make things in America. That way we won't have to worry about the shipping strike as much.
Yes, correct.
He's out correct. In front of it. One other thing, Rich. Do you think maybe this spitting match that's going on in the White House, as Joe takes on the union, and then they 25th Amendment him, and then Kamala Harris can come along and say, I didn't do that, Joe did it. And it's one of those, he said, she said, point the finger, I got to run for cover right now.
Look, it's a great question. You know, I've debated this idea in my mind about whether or not her being president helps her or hurts her. I think it helps her. I do. I think becoming president helps her because we've never had a woman president. So imagining a woman as president would help a lot of people get over that hump because it's never happened before.
That's a 30-day hump, though, Rich.
No, I agree, but you only need 5 minutes.
And then, wait a second. At that point, she can run off into the sunset. She can write books. She can have movies. And she can say, I was the first woman, so no other Republican can ever be the first woman. They're all second after me.
Right. And again,
this is an ego thing with them.
If Joe, no, it's Joe Biden hates her. If he wanted to help her, he would have. He would resign and let her be president.
No.
And I'm telling you,
that old codger's got to be forced out again.
Yep, 100%.
And it's a spitting match.
We'll right, see, pal. Bud. You're right. Thank you, Tad. Appreciate it. Always good to hear from you. It's a spot on analysis. Exactly right. Hates her. If she were president right now, you'd have the first woman president, the image of that. She'd get all the pomp and circumstance, and she could be making all these orders and all these decisions. She could be doing all these things as president, behind the Oval Office, giving addresses to the nation every night. Be the biggest gift to her. But he'd rather die than make that happen. And that's probably what it would take, because I don't think they're going to 25th Amendment him. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Scioli. Big fourth and final hour coming up. Listen, Cherry Hill Volvo has cars in stock right now. I don't know what's going to be affected, but I do know they have a plant in South Carolina where they make the S60. American jobs, American automobile, it's great. And it could be yours right now for a lease of $369 a month for 36 months. Cherry Hill Volvo is on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. It's where relationships matter. And they prove that every single day. My dear friend Judith Krupnik will make sure that you are happy. And they do the right thing every time. That's what they do at Cherry Hill Volvo. They do the right thing. So reach out to them today. Go visit them today. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. And there's a reason for that. It's because she said, I want to step up and have the studio naming rights. So a lease, an S60, beautiful, stylish sedan, $369 a month for 36 months at Cherry Hill Volvo. Well, you'll have the luxury buying experience you deserve. You'll be treated the way you deserve. And whether it's the XC60 or the XC90, what we drive, the big Zeoli family car, either way, new, certified, pre-owned, or lease, Cherry Hill Volvo is where relationships matter.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.